And so here goes another one of those 50-cent words that we're throwing out, ascension. And when we say ascension, all it means is that Jesus was taken up. There are some churches and religions today that celebrate what's known as Ascension Day. And Ascension Day is traditionally recognized 40 days after Easter on a Thursday. And what they are doing, they are recognizing the fact that Jesus did go into heaven.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of a majestic departure. Jesus is the high priest who ascended into heaven from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of a majestic departure. Jesus is the high priest who ascended into heaven.
God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so we see here that this is the answer to Christ's prayer in John 17. Father, glorify me with the same glory that I had before the world. And God, after his coronation, after he enters into the portals of glory, then we see that God exalts him. And we see two things about this. First of all, we see that it is an exalted destination. It says that he has highly exalted him. This phrase, highly exalted him, means that he has risen to the rank that's the highest of the high. That there can be nobody higher than he is. Now, if you think about it, at one point, he was the lowest of the lows. Right? Now, what, Jesus? Pastor Glaze, didn't you teach a couple of weeks ago that Jesus was a moral and righteous man? Yeah, I did. I did teach that. But watch this. As Christ died on the cross, he didn't, as some people would say, turn into sin. I'm not saying he turned into sin. But what did he do? He took your sins. He took your sins. He took my sins. He took the sins from people of eternity past. He took all the sins that people will ever commit. And when he died on the cross, he took everybody's sin and he felt the heartache. He felt the torment. He felt the agony of what it meant to die for your sins. And I believe at that point, he was at the lowest of lows because he was burdened down with the sins of everybody. He was weighted down with everybody's sin. And he was at the lowest point that he ever was. And therefore, God lifted him from the lowest of lows and took him to the highest of highs. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has an exalted destination, but he also has an exclusive designation. What am I saying here? It says that he's been given a name that's above every name. Now, everybody won't agree with this, so I'm telling you right now, and you can take do your study, and you come up with what you believe. But I believe that name, and again, not everybody's in agreement, so I'm telling you that's from the beginning. This is my view, all right? He says that he's been given a name that's above every name. I believe that the name he's been given is Lord. Why do I say that? Because in verse 11, it says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, let's go back. A couple weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, but let's try to put our minds back a couple weeks ago when I did a message entitled, The Great I Am. And we said that Jesus is the Great I Am. That when Moses came to the burning bush and he asked God to reveal himself to him so he could go tell the people who sent him, and God said that, tell them that I am sent you. And when Jesus comes in the New Testament, he fulfills, Jesus said that before Abraham was, I am. And then he goes on to say he's the bread of life, he's the vine, he's the resurrection, all these things that he is. The word Lord, translated in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the term used there translates into Yahweh, or I am. So I believe, based on that, I believe that the name that Jesus was given was Yahweh, was the great I am. And at that name of Yahweh, at that name of Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And so in the words of that, and I believe it was Midas or Meineke, one of those commercials back in the day where it was trying to get you to get your brakes changed now so that you wouldn't have problems later, that the expression that they used is that you could either pay me now or pay me later. So I'm telling you that you can either bow your knee, humble your heart, and recognize that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and say, Lord, now, or one day you will stand before him and you will bow, not in confession for salvation, but you will bow in regret and sorrow that you never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'll just give you, on Wednesday, we've been doing a series on evangelism, and let me give you a little evangelistic tip or tool, that whenever you witness to somebody and they begin to doubt, you know, they're not totally convinced, you know, maybe they're on the line as to whether or not they want to fully embrace Christ, that they want to accept him as their Lord and Savior. Somebody said this years ago, and I never forgot it, and that is this. You can say to the person, what is it going to cost you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I follow him, and everything that he said was a lie, everything that he said was not true, then what have I lost by doing that? Absolutely nothing. I mean, what have I lost? If I've accepted Christ, I've been preaching the gospel for 30-some years, I've been serving him longer, and if I come to the end, and all this stuff about Christianity is a farce, it's a fake, it's not real, and I come to the end, what have I lost? Nothing. As a matter of fact, I've kind of got a better life. You know, I stopped getting high. Right? Since I got saved, I know Christ changed my life. So I've had a better life, but what have I lost? But now, on the other hand, if you don't accept Christ and you come to the end and what I'm saying is true, then you've lost everything. You've lost everything. And this verse right here lets you know that. That one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we see his exaltation. And then let me close by talking about his administration. And this leads us to the question that we've been asking after the presentation of the various aspects of Christ. So what? So what? Pastor Glaze, I say this every week, right? Pastor Glaze, it's nice to know that Jesus died and was buried, rose again. It's nice to know that he ascended into heaven. But what does that mean? What does that mean for me? I mean, right now, you know, tomorrow morning, I have to go out, and as I say, I got to deal with knuckleheads on my job. Tomorrow morning, I got to go out, and the man that's sending the bills to my mailbox is still going to be putting it in the mail. I got to go out and deal with all the trials and temptations of life. So what that Jesus ascended into heaven? Well, I'm glad that you asked that, because let me share with you a couple things as we look at the so what factor. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. So what? So what that Jesus ascended into heaven? John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient that I, watch this, ascend into heaven. It is expedient that we have the ascension. Why? Because if I don't ascend, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. What is one result of the ascension? Jesus Christ himself said that unless he went away, that the Comforter would not come. And so we can take joy in the fact that the Comforter has come to abide with us. That when we sing that he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, who's walking with us? Who's whispering in our ear? It's the Comforter. It's the Holy Spirit. When we get weak, who is the one that comes and strengthens us? It's the Holy Spirit. When we don't know which direction to turn and which way to go, who comes alongside and guides us? It's the Comforter. It's the Holy Spirit. When we need to be infilled and infused to do the will and the work of God, who comes along and infuses us to do God's will? It's the Comforter. And so Jesus said, unless I ascend, the Comforter will not descend. We've heard the song. I believe the male chorus sings the song. And it goes something like this. Joys are flowing like a river since the Comforter has come. He abides with us forever. He makes the trusting heart his home. Blessed quietness. Blessed quietness. And all the noise that's in the world, all the people that's coming at us for this and for that. Blessed quietness. All the sin that's around us, the sins that we commit. Blessed quietness. Holy quietness. What assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, and the billows cease to roll. There's one verse that says, like the rain that falls from heaven, like the sunlight from the sky, so the Holy Spirit given falls upon us from on high. Blessed quietness. Holy quietness. What assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, he speaks peace to me, and the billows cease to roll. Here goes the verse that we know. We know this one. Y'all might even break out and start singing it. What a wonderful salvation. Where we always see his face. What a peaceful habitation. What a quiet resting place. Oh, this blessed quietness. Why is all this? How in the world can you have peace? The only way you can have peace is that the Comforter came. Jesus said, when I leave, if I don't leave, the Comforter is not going to come. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. You got peace in the midst of the storm. All the things that you wrestle with, all the things that you struggle with, and you still have peace that you're going down the highway. And you know, I don't know how many times I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be honest with you. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because there's been times when I know that I know that I know that road rage was on me. And the Holy Spirit checked me. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I remember I was somewhere yesterday, and I really wasn't feeling the joy of the Lord. And you know, I was somewhere getting something, and somebody was waiting on me. And I'm thinking, I knew my spirit was sour, and I knew I was projecting the sour spirit. And the first thing the Holy Spirit said to me, "Don't you have a hat on that says Anchored in Jesus on it?" Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I don't leave, the Spirit is not going to come. Secondly, it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Let's look at that real quick. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has ascended, the ascension, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Jesus is our high priest. He's at the right hand of God. And when you think about the priest in the Old Testament who had to over and over and over offer sacrifices. Every year they had the Day of Atonement. Then he offered sacrifices all week long, all the time. All these sacrifice after sacrifice, killing animal after animal, blood draining, blood after blood, altar after altar, consuming these sacrifices. All this, man, just think. Can you imagine how much time it takes to get an animal, to slay the animal, to drain the blood out of the animal, to cut the animal up in pieces, and then to put the animal up on the altar and burn the animal until it's all... Man, that took a long time. The Bible says that Jesus offered one sacrifice for sin, and that we don't have to go through all that anymore. See, I preached a couple weeks ago about, you know, the money changers. Why was there money changers in the temple? Because when the people came to worship, that they had to have an animal. And a lot of times they would buy their animal right there in the temple. And so these money changers were selling sick animals. They were selling animals at high over cost. And so Jesus, he got upset. He got frustrated with all that. So we can praise God that when you pulled up the day that you didn't have to have a sheep tied to the trunk of your car. What does this mean to me? Right? You didn't have to pull up this morning with some ox behind your ride. Right? You came in with your wallet. Right? I mean, see, thank God for the ascension, right? Thank God for the ascension. You know, that some churches even got online giving now, right? You can send your sheep online, right? Thank God for the ascension. The ascension means that he's our high priest, that he sacrificed once and forever, and his sacrifice lasts forever. He is the intercessor who speaks for the believer. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to hit the other two real quick, and I'll be done. But I didn't see this until yesterday. This is powerful. You know, and again, sometimes I get excited about stuff, and maybe it don't excite people the way it excites me. But this excited me when I saw it. It says here in Hebrews 7:25. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus is interceding for us so that whenever we sin, that he says, "Oh, wait a minute, you can't charge that to their account. You know, they're under the blood." So, you know, he does that over and over. But notice what it said. Like I said, I was sitting in my living room, man. I almost started shouting yesterday. It says that he saves to the uttermost. Yeah. To the uttermost. Yeah. What? When you say to the uttermost, now why did you have to say to the uttermost? Because, you know, there's The priest in the Old Testament, his sacrifice only lasted for a little while, right? So Jesus, he not only dies on the cross, which is enough, right, for our salvation, right? And he rose again. That's enough for our salvation. But, you know, some people might say, well, you know, look, that, I've heard people say this. Well, I can see how Jesus died for all my past sins, but what about the sins I haven't committed yet? Take them to Hebrews 7:25. Because it says here that he saves to what? The uttermost. And notice he didn't stop there, but he what? Continue. And he continues to make sacrifice or intercession for my sin. That even if, and I'm not saying that it is, I know that the death, burial, resurrection, that's the gospel, and that is sufficient. That is sufficient enough. But just in case that's not enough, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father for all eternity, and that any sin that we commit that is covered, any sin that we ever commit, he confesses it to the Father and say, Father, don't lay it to that knucklehead's charge. Father, look, I paid for that one right there. And he makes, look what it says here, that he ever, how long? He ever liveth to make intercession for them. So he's going to intercede for us from now throughout eternity. What a blessing it is to have a Savior who saves to the uttermost. And I think some translations, I was looking at another translation, it said he saves completely. You know, his salvation is not insufficient. And then just let me mention these last two real quick. He's an advocate who pleads for the sinner. The fact that he has ascended back into heaven, now he pleads for us. He speaks for us. Jesus is the lawyer in the courtroom that speaks for us. And then John chapter 14, a verse or verses that we've all memorized, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I ascend to prepare a place for you. And if I ascend to prepare a place for you, I will descend and come and bring you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That we have the assurance that because he ascended, that he's coming back for us, and that we will be with him for all eternity. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you for the ascension. We thank you for the fact that Jesus not only died, was buried, and rose again, but that he literally, that he bodily ascended back into heaven, and that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, living forever to make intercession for his people. And so we are grateful for that. And now, Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that has never met this Jesus that we've been talking about, Lord, I ask that you would minister to their spirit, minister to their heart, and that you would allow them to come so that they can receive this eternal life that Jesus is able to give. Lord, minister to hearts right now. Minister to spirits. If there's someone here that's looking for a place to fellowship, they're looking for a church home, and this is the place that you have led them, Father, we pray that you would speak to their hearts and they would come. We commit this invitation to you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, A Majestic Departure, Jesus is the High Priest Who Ascended into Heaven, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Majestic Departure, Jesus is the High Priest Who Ascended into Heaven. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Majestic Departure. Jesus is the High Priest Who Ascended into Heaven. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.